Rich, if you're gonna, are you the one who labels these things?
Sure.
Or Tom, are you the one who labels? Whoever's doing it, okay. You can just label this one, the banqueting table and the Holy Spirit, okay? There's a place in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, it says, he's brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. What I want us to do is continue. This is Pentecost, and we'll talk about the Holy Spirit. But I want us to continue what we began some weeks ago, and that is just responding as a group, as a church, as a people, to the foremost commandment in Matthew 22. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and then one of the Gospels adds, into our and all our strength. And again, as I mentioned before, when we first got into all this, these are scriptures that we've read over your Christian life often. And if you come to the liturgy, Eucharist during the week, we recite that every day. We quote that scripture every day. And it's one thing to quote it, to appreciate it, to long for it. But the whole purpose of this, whatever this is called, a series or however long we're going to be talking about this, which is really going to be off and on forever, because I believe it's a real mandate from God for our church, I think it's really important that we understand really what God's saying and what God's saying to us and what he's calling us to. And what I believe God's calling us to is to a way of life where we really understand what it means to delight in the Lord and to live that way as a way of life. And that doesn't mean just to be happy about God. The word, again, delight means to have a tender heart, to have a tender heart towards God so that he can use us the way he wants to use us, so we can move. And his purpose is at a higher level, that, quote, he can give us his desires. The desires of our heart will then move us and move through us in the earth. And so we've spent several weeks, I think we've done 3 weeks now, we've discovered the remarkable reality of not just the great commandment, but the great promise that you shall love the Lord your God. You know, draw me after you, and the king drew me. I love Psalm 23. David, having said he wants to spend his life, the one thing that he asked he would seek would be to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of life, to dwell in the presence of God, to live in an abiding sense in the presence of God. He says at the end of Psalm 23, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, for his mercy and goodness follow me all the days of my life. And because the mercy and goodness of God follows us, David says it about him because he had set his heart, which we'll see in a few weeks. We've talked about it some, but we'll see in a couple of weeks. He set his heart on a pilgrimage to live in the presence of God and to love God with all of his heart, soul, and mind. His one thing desire, that he would seek the Lord, that he would dwell in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. That scripture in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, is such an amazing scripture. It says, he's brought me to his banqueting table and his banner over me is love. Now I want you to hear a revelation, a fresh revelation of a great promise. He brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. And that's all in response to her saying, I'll just read this to you instead of you trusting me. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, she says, your love is better than, the pleasure of your love is greater than any other pleasure or anything that exhilarates the human heart. Your love and being in love with you exhilarates the human heart more than any other exhilaration that the world can offer, even the good ones. As we mentioned the other day, it's even more exhilarating than the things God does for us. And so many times we're consumed with the acts of God. It's the presence of God that's our great gift. And it's the love of God that's our great reward. And it says, for your oils have a pleasing fragrance, your presence, your name is like purified oil, therefore the maidens love you. Then this is her heart cry. This is kind of like the response to the one thing command. The choosing that Mary Magdalene did, we looked at last week from Luke 10. The choice that she made. And God honored that choice. And God, remember when she made that choice, he says that good part will not be taken away from her. That's the great promise, the foremost promise that's attached to the foremost command. He says, draw me after you, and I will run, and let us run. Let us run to that place. Let us run to that place where your presence is real. Let's run to that place where love, the love relationship between me and you happens. And then it says, the king has brought me into his chambers. That's the King who's done that. It's the King who's brought me. It's the first and great promise. That He always responds to that choice. Lord, I want to spend my life as my one thing priority is to actively and intentionally love You with all of my heart, soul, and mind. Well, the King will bring you in. And that's why the Scripture in chapter 2, and it says, He has brought me to His banqueting table and His banner over me is love. Again, the grace of God, the holy and intense and inflamed determination of God to respond to a heart that's longing for Him. Even in our imperfect love, in our weak love, He responds and delights in. It arouses Him, we saw in Zechariah, to come to me and draw me. He has brought me to His banqueting table. You can't get there unless He brings you. And His banner over you, over me, is love. Now, when it says that His banner over me is love, we'll just establish that first, and we'll talk about that more in the weeks and the months ahead. Whenever you would have an army of men who are about to go off to war, and maybe the king would stand before them, and his whole army would be like in different battalions or different tribes, and every one of them would have a banner over them. That's the banner they would carry out into battle. And the banner would clearly identify who they were. That's who they were. That's who they were. If they were the tribe of Asher, they were the tribe of Asher in defeat or victory. They were always the tribe of Asher. But what God says about all of us, that we're all part of one tribe in Christ. And that's the tribe of the love of God. God has set His love on us. And He's made us His special treasure. So the banner over all of us is love. An important thing for you to understand that His banner over you is love in defeat and victory. And the King will bring you to His banqueting table if it's in your heart, if it's your desire, if it's in your longing, if there are highways in your heart, you set your heart on a pilgrimage, and there are these highways, you're emotionally and mentally always traveling there. It's just the first thing on your heart and mind. If that's who you are, God doesn't wait for you to mature and become perfect to celebrate you and enjoy you. He loves you because of your longing and because you've made a choice. It's really important for you to hear that God delights in you fiercely with His extraordinary love, even in your imperfections, even on the journey. He celebrates the journey with you, and He has set His holy determination to your choice to help you get there, knowing there are going to be struggles and defeat. And so the King, He has brought you to His banqueting table, and He's brought you to this banqueting table, and the banner over you is love, and it's always over you, even if you've come from defeat. God doesn't love you and relate to you and speak to you and love on you only when you're living in victory. Do you understand me? That is so important for you to hear that. Because we think God's only happy with us when we win, when we're in victory. Now, God's pleased that we walk in the Spirit, and His heart can be grieved if we've walked in defeat because we've made choices to displease Him. But His commitment to love me and His holy determination for us, for me to be drawn into that place of loving Him with all my heart, mind, and soul, which happens at the banqueting table, is set, and it's not based on you coming in victory. As a matter of fact, one of the things I've discovered is I need His tangible love and loving on me more in defeat than I do in victory. Because it's in that place that you and I are the most vulnerable. It's there that the accuser of the brethren comes and says, see, you failed again. You made a promise and you didn't fulfill it again. How many times has it been? You can't expect God's favor and affection. God can't delight in you the way you are. But you see, the truth is, a banner clearly identifies who you are. And let me just let this get down inside of you. Even in defeat or victory, your greatest victory of all is there's a banner over you called love, and it's always there. That's your greatest triumph in life. Is that by the grace of God, He loves you fiercely, relentlessly, and unconditionally. Period. So he said, he's brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. So understand that if his banner over you is love, then you belong at the banqueting table, even if you've come directly from defeat. Now, what's the banqueting table? I think it can represent a lot of things. I think primarily it represents that place where we encounter God. That place where, like Mary Magdalene, where we sit at His feet, we hear His voice. That we can live with a banqueting table mindset and mentality where God's always making His presence real with us, even in the marketplace. But like that prophetic word that we had, you got to come, you got to live in the closet if you're going to survive in the marketplace. You got to find that secret place, whatever it is. Even if it's just standing in the middle of the street because you're busy 24 hours a day, where you just set aside some place in your heart and you allow the King to bring you to rest in His presence. It's the place that David talks about in Psalm 27, verse 4. Again, one thing I've asked, and that I shall seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold His beauty, and inquire in His presence. That place where you behold the beauty of the Lord. Again, it's not that you don't have glimpses of His beauty and you can meditate and contemplate on His beauty throughout the day, but it's that place of discovering, the primary place of discovering the vast beauty of the Lord, the presence, the sufficiency and the satisfaction of the presence and the glory of the Lord. It says in Psalm 27, another way he said it, it was about seeking His face or seeking His glory, seeking His splendor. One writer says it's the beauty realm of God. It's just that place you enter in and you enter into the beauty realm of God. That in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore place. Let me show you something in Exodus 33. Give you a little further hint about that banqueting table. This is when the Lord had threatened, because of the disobedience of Israel, to let them go into the land of Canaan, but He wasn't going to go with them. He was going to send angels to take them. And Moses cries out, God, if You don't go with us, if Your presence isn't with us, then we're like all the other peoples on the earth. It's Your presence, God, that sets us apart as a unique people. And I'm not going there. See, it's a land full of milk and honey. The blessings in the land, He said, Lord, I don't want if I don't have Your presence, because Your presence is the great blessing. Your beauty is the great blessing. Loving You and being loved by You is the great blessing. Lord, if I had to, I could live without all the gifts and the anointings and all the other stuff, as long as I have to live without Your presence. And so the Lord says, well, then I'll go with you and I'll give you rest. And then Moses, in response, says this in verse 18. Then Moses said, I pray Thee, show me Thy glory. Show me Your beauty, Lord. Bring me into the beauty realm of God. The self-disclosures of God. Reveal Your face to me, Your splendor. In verse 19, and He said, I Myself, listen to God's response, will make all My goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to you whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. And listen to what He says to him. He says, I'm not going to show You My face because you won't live. But He didn't say He wouldn't show Him His glory. He said, you just can't stare right at it. So you just turn your back, and I'm going to let My glory pass. But what He said was, I will let My goodness pass before you. Now, that kind of sums up, and it means a million different things, the beauty of the Lord. It's when you come to the realm of the beauty of how good God is. It's just the revelation, the meditation, the adoration at the feet of Jesus, worshiping Him, worshiping God for His goodness and the manifestations of His goodness that He reveals. See, even God's judgments are manifestations of His goodness. Something we don't understand. So all those revelations, all those self-disclosures of His goodness, that's at the heart of the beauty of the Lord. And see, that's why the one thing devotion, if you read that this morning that I wrote that's online, the one thing it says there, because David had entered into the beauty realm of God and was beholding the goodness of God, the beauty of the Lord, his head and his heart was lifted up above the enemy. And that's why he could say towards the end of that psalm, it's full of conflict and severe battle, he could say, I would have despaired if I hadn't believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And he said, my head and heart are so filled with the beauty of God, with the goodness of God, I know that God will be good when this is all said and done. I may not know how he's going to do it. I may not know what it's all going to look like when it's over, but I know I'll see the beauty of the God of God manifested. See, the beauty of God doesn't just reveal who he is and his character. It's also reflected in his behavior on your behalf and my behalf. You hear me? So when he talks about the banqueting table, I believe it's that place where God just reveals to your heart through the blazing eyes of Christ his beauty, his goodness, his glory, how good he is. And again, like David said, that's the thing that lifts your head and your heart up above the enemy all around you. The battle may not change, but your perspective of reality is so overwhelmed and baptized in the beauty of God and the goodness of God, you don't see anything the same. You end up wearing the radiance of God on you. Now listen to this psalm. Man, this psalm just blew me away this week. And I believe this is what happens at the banqueting table. The king brings you to the banqueting table. And I believe this is what happens at the banqueting table. Psalm 52. I tell you, a fun thing to do sometimes is just get a marker, get your Bible, and go through the Psalms. and highlight every time the word loving kindness is used. It's the coolest Old Testament Hebrew word there is. It's the closest Old Testament word to grace that we have. But it has such a stronger connotation. It's such a powerful, because Hebrew is such a poetic language. Greek is a lot of detail, sort of like mathematic. That's good, but Hebrew's poetic and romantic. That's why the Song of Solomon wasn't written in Greek. You know? It'd be more like, I love you a whole lot, how you doing, have a great day. But in Hebrew, the word loving kindness means God, let me just give you the best way. This is the amplified version, but it kind of represents it all. God's inexplicable, absolutely ridiculous decision to put you by choice in favor and to steadfastly love you and nothing anybody, including you, can do about it. Period. That's loving kindness. It's the word covenant love. Sometimes, I like thinking the English Standard Version is translated steadfast. That's better than loving kindness. But the word loving kindness is translated because the representation isn't like there's this benevolence, this sweetness, loving kindness. But he's just so kind to do this. That God is so kind to just steadfastly and unconditionally and inexplicably make me his choice to love on, and there's nothing I can do about it. Period. Again, it's kind of like in Deuteronomy chapter 7, talking about Israel. Verse 6, he says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you to be a people for his special treasure. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, and the Lord did not set his love. This is the word set. He set his love on you. It's like cementing something. The Lord has not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. And obviously not because they were the most faithful either, right? But because, here's the because, here's the great reason, but because the Lord loved you. It's inexplicable. So you go do a study sometime about loving kindness, and it's just amazing in the Psalms. And I'm jumping around. But listen to this one. This is Psalm 136. Let me just read a little bit of it. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. That sums up a lot, doesn't it? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of God, God of God, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And every other sentence in this whole psalm is everything that God does is because He has set His love. Because of His steadfast love. That He's so kind and so good that He set His love, and it's inexplicable. And it won't go away. And no matter what you do, His goodness, David said, and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And you can't shake Him. Do you hear that? That's what David said. For your goodness and your loving kindness will follow me all the days. And the word loving kindness is a real aggressiveness about it. That, like, just tenacious and stubborn and follows you everywhere. Every time you stop and look, it's there. He's there. It won't go away. Again, as we said earlier in the week to one of the groups we preached to, it was like 30,000 different groups around here from the Eucharist and the Wednesday night group. It said, David said, I go down to the bottom of the ocean, there you are. Go up to the highest heavens, there you are. That's loving kindness. So listen to Psalm 52. I believe this is what happens at the banqueting table. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? Verse 1. The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Verse 8. But as for me, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God, and I trust in the loving kind. That's what I trust in. How about you? Man, I trust in God's steadfast, stubborn, tenacious love more than anything else. I trust that nothing can separate me from that. Therefore, I am an overwhelming conqueror, regardless of what's going on around me or inside of me. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. Now, hear this. And I will give thee thanks forever because you've done it. Now, hear the language. I believe, now this is the gospel according to Chuck, but I believe that in that moment, David, when he talked about the loving kindness of God, just like Abraham saw, I believe that David had a vision of how big God's love was, even to the point of his own sacrifice. And I believe that at the banqueting table, God just reveals the layers of His goodness, and you just find yourself falling down before Him in your heart, constantly falling down before Him, bowing Him in awe, going, oh my God, You've done it. You did it. You've really done it. You've set Your love on me. And there is no escape for You. I come to Him with brokenness again and again with the accuser of the brethren telling me there's separation, there's a division between me and God. And I come before Him and He starts revealing His affections for me. And I find myself worshiping Him going, oh my God, You've done it. You've really done it this time. You've set Your love on someone who's not always faithful. You've allowed Your heart, in the language of Song of Solomon, to be imprisoned in love for me. My God, You've done it this time. You've really done it this time. And for us who look back at the cross, who have the cross always before us, so that's why I don't believe the cross is a past event. I don't have any problem ever wearing a crucifix. Jesus died once, but it's an ever-present reality. And I find myself again and again before Him just crying in light of my own weakness and sinfulness and just crying out, oh God, You've done it. I can't can't believe you did it. It's like a permanent set. You've done it. I give thanks to you because you've really done it this time, Lord. You're stuck with someone like me. You paid the price. You can't reverse the suffering that you went through. I mean, every Eucharist, we should be crying out, oh my God, you've really done it this time, Lord. There's no backing up this time, Lord. There's no getting around it, Lord. You've done it this time. You love me. With covenant love, with steadfast love. That's our victory. Do you understand? That's the banqueting table. Is that whatever He shows you and reveals Himself to you, you know it's out of grace because you and I don't deserve it. Not because we were the most or because we deserved it. He just simply chose to love us. I can't explain it. But every time I'm before Him, I'm crying out with this extraordinary gratitude and brokenness. Oh God, you've done it this time. And He just shows me more about how much that means, what that represents to me. Doesn't that resonate in your heart and your spirit? Turn to John chapter 16. I don't know how many of you are Star Trek fans. Maybe not many. And I'm not like a Trekkie. But I remember one of the scenes when Spock died. You guys remember that movie when Spock died? When he took the radiation to spare his friend. That's like a you've done it scene to me. Anyway, when you, Captain Kirk, that's kind of almost like he's saying, he's watching his friend and die because he laid his life down to save him. And then when Spock puts his hands on the screen, remember what did Spock say? And then he said, my friend, for something like always and forever, my friend. To me, that's like, you've done it this time. That's what. And it says in Psalm, in Roman Psalm, Galatians, Matthew, Hebrews. Sorry. And when He, the Helper, comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And concerning sin because they do not believe in me, believe in the Father, believe in me and the Father, and you no longer behold me. Concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but He will, whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, and He will take that's mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that He takes of mine and will disclose it to you. And you see, I believe that's one of the things about Pentecost we need to celebrate. We think about Pentecost, we always think about, oh, the power. And that's awesome. And the ability to live the Christian life, the power of God to live the Christian life. I'm so grateful. I mean, if there's two mandates in my life, this, the first one is that the Holy Spirit's come to live the life of Christ through me with the ability of Jesus and to set me free from my daily weaknesses and inability to live holy life. The second mandate is to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. And I love Him because He first loves me. So it's a revelation. It's living in the beauty realm of God where you're coming with His banner over you, His love, sitting at the banqueting table and Him just revealing to you all that's in the beauty realm of His goodness. All that He has committed Himself to. All that I've done. All the things that are ours because of the commitment, the unconditional commitment He's made and set His love on us. And it's the Holy Spirit that's our escort. That's part of the great promise. That God didn't pour out His Holy Spirit just so we'd be enabled by the power of the indwelling Christ to live the Christian life. But He also came to reveal to us the beauty of the Lord. You say, because I don't know how to discover those things, Bishop. I don't either. But I do know how to be escorted. I'm learning how to be escorted. And He escorts me, and He's the tour guide. He reveals all truth. And He brings me to the banqueting table every time I get alone with the Lord. And He begins to reveal to me the different aspects in the realm of the beauty of the Lord. All the different things about the goodness of God and His steadfast and loving kindness. Revealing to me His glory. That's His work. And that's your gift. That's your gift that you can celebrate today. When you walk away from this service, you can leave going, Lord, I thank You that it's not blind leading the blind. I thank You that You've not only promised me that I would love You with all my heart, soul, and mind, that by Your holy determination, You're going to get me there, but You've even placed an escort to accomplish that inside of me and with me. And You said He would be with me and in me forever. And He will simply lead me into that place. He will bring me into the banqueting table. If I just give You permission, just create an opportunity for Him to do that. And He'll bring me to the banqueting table. He'll bring me to the beauty realm of God. And He'll reveal Your steadfast love, Your loving kindness. He'll reveal Your goodness to me. He'll reveal all the things of Jesus to me, which is endless and endlessly satisfying. He'll bring me to that place. Can you imagine what that banqueting table looks like? Again, how fascinating that is. He'll bring me to the place of fascination with the beauty of God. And then one last scripture. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 of chapter 2. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all. And God wants us to have it all. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. Thank God for Pentecost. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now, I want you to understand, He doesn't talk about deep people here. We get really intimidated by that. We'll read a book or hear a speaker or go to a conference and go, oh, there's so much spiritual depth about that person. I could never be there. I could never be that individual. He doesn't talk about deep people here. He talks about the depths of God that are for all of us, shallow people. If you meet somebody and they seem like they're deep, it's just because they're swimming in deep water. It's because they've allowed the escort to guide them into the depths of God that's there for every single one of us. That's our great gift in Pentecost. The Holy Spirit knows the depths of the banqueting table. And He's prepared to search them all and reveal them all to you in the beauty realm of the Lord. All the aspects of His beauty. All the revelation of His goodness. All. We've talked about great things to pray before you get with the Lord. One of them, the Song of Solomon 1. Oh Lord, kiss me with the words of affection. Another would be, Holy Spirit, be my escort. You promised You'd lead me into all truth. Go for it. I'll swim as deep. I'll travel as far as You're willing to take me. And He'll look at you and He'll go, I'll show You as much on the banqueting table as You're hungry for. If you go, I'm desperate, then there's a never endless discovery. Not just search, but discovery. Because it says, for God reveals them through the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? And even so, The thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. When we went to Israel that time, Betty Brennan had gotten a guide that she had had many, many times, knew his way around. That's why she liked him, one of the reasons. Let me just say something. The Holy Spirit knows his way around the heart of God. Best tour guide you could ever imagine. God's going to take you on a tour of his own heart. Now we have received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us. Us is a plural word. All of us. It's been freely given to you. What? I don't have to earn it. I don't have to buy it. I don't have to pay for it. I don't get it if I get enough victories. I don't like get points. Nope. It's already been, it wasn't free, but it's free to you. And it's already all yours. The whole spread is yours. Bought and paid for. And it's yours for free. All you got to do is position yourself to discover. Wasn't it a hard search, a difficult? You just sit at the banqueting table. It's a resting position. And the Holy Spirit will take you on the tour. You just got to put yourself in a position. The battle is, the hard part, the enemy's going to do everything he can to fight and distract you so that you never put yourself in position. Which things we also speak, not in words, taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit. The depths of God, the deep things of God, are for every one of you. For every one of us. It's all been spread out. It's all been laid out. Everything's already there. You have everything, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is already yours in Christ. It's all there. The whole beauty realm of God's laying out before you. All the expressions of His goodness is all there. They bring you to the banqueting table. All you got to do is position yourself. You say, but I won't understand any of it. Well, that's why you have this tour guide. You have this escort. God becomes your very escort to the things of God. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what we give thanks for today, is that we have the most awesome tour guide into the heart of God. That is God, the one who's dressed up in the tour guide suit himself. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.